This is CliffCentral.com.
This just in.
You're tuned into Kalman on CliffCentral.com. But as you can hear, I guess a pretty weird way to start off a Kalman show without hearing Kalman.
Wait a minute. Wait, first of all, you're not going to speed past that like you didn't just say what you just said. Because we take it.
You never told me how we must treat them when they come here. I'm waiting for a signal, man.
This is CliffCentral.com.
And just like that, it's another day in studio, and you're chilling with the hot crew, the Urban Culture Drive. How are you, everybody?
We're good.
I'm alright, I just got the flu, but I'm here, I'm alive. You know, the only thing I just want to have is money. Guys, if I had a lot of money, I'd be 100%. All I'd do is I'll just study and come here and not do anything. I mean, I look at Dumanana, how he's almost threw his, you know, domestic work off a balcony, and then 2 hours later, look, withdrawn. You know what I mean?
And that's exactly what came to my mind, and we'll delve into this a little later on.
Of course.
Money, guys. Money talks, and bullshit fucking takes the butt.
I just want money.
So clearly, this is a reflection of how your weekend was. What you're thinking about money.
No, I
come into studio on Monday thinking about money.
This weekend was too lit. I was with Candace at WAF, you know.
It was a movie, guys.
Wine and Food Festival in Pretoria. It was absolutely amazing. Sponsored by Standard Bank. It was really interesting. We tasted a lot of wine and got drunk.
We got wined up.
We got wined up with my sexy cousin, of course.
Oh, yeah.
If she's listening, yeah, you know.
Shout out. Hi, Sophie. Thank you so much for teaching me your ways.
So instead of the working swell and spit out, you are doing the
wait, ask pour.
Dude,
pour.
And you know what? They try to like pour like these little tester shots and be like, guys, please, Pita. Remember Pita?
Yeah, Peter.
I'm talking about Pita. There's this guy named Pita.
He was drinking galore.
He's supposed to be serving us drinks. Homie is out here getting lit.
Getting lit. I'm
when we got to like about 5-6 o'clock, he was red. He was super flustered in his face. Like, that's how lit he was. And you know, Caucasian people tend to go red when they drank. Yeah. So that was...
This is the guy who was serving, like at a store,
you know,
for a particular wine brand.
Yeah, we won't name the brand. I don't want to get him fired. No. I don't want to get you fired, Peter.
We're also not getting royalties,
what must happen?
And I just thought that, you know, it was such an interesting lit thing to do, you know, to just go wine tasting and just have, you know, using people's money to get ahead, guys. We don't want to explain to you how much money we used. And we didn't pay for anything.
Rent.
No, not ours.
Not ours.
That is my little Lay Queen. We were out here VIP everywhere.
So were out here handling the bill.
Ah, daddy.
Dude.
You're
and then
lit.
Thoroughly.
This food and wine thing, were they pairing the things, or was it a different stall for foods and a different stall for wines?
Good point you make. I think they conceptualized it in that way to say, okay, cool. There was a section where you could taste, but it wasn't the complete event. So partial, like a part of the event was, look, you'll do the wine tasting and you'll do the food tasting. Mm. And then there was a whole new section on the other side, on the top of the hill, where you could literally just get wasted off the wine. But I must say the main focus was not food per se.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you go to the event.
It was more the wine.
It was more just drinking.
It was more a wine tasting thing.
Yes.
It was more a wine tasting thing. And then the food was just a supplement.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely. You know, and with that, I got to Sunday. I was super hungover. I mean, I was a complete mess. I got to think about a few things that, you know, as we're doing the rounds, me and Candace and my cousin, you know, we're just doing the most. And something was bothering me. Mm. You know, I was like, you know, I had a good weekend with my girls. But something has been playing at the back of my mind for the last 2-3 days, you know? Mm. The most ridiculous thing I heard last year, for me it is really ridiculous. I'm a gay person, guys. Everyone here on radio knows. Mm-hmm. Some people at work know, but I'm not necessarily out to everyone, mm-hmm. whatever the case might be, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. There is a day called International Coming Out Day.
Wow.
For me, that is the most condescending thing, and I think it's absolute bullshit.
Explain.
For me, I don't necessarily believe that anyone... You don't have to come out to anyone. I don't like the idea that gay people or lesbian people or bisexual people have to be figured out. I don't want to be figured out. I'm not a toy. I'm not a Lego thing that you have to push me in a situation where I have to go home, sit down my parents and explain to them whom I sleep with and whom I don't sleep with. I don't want that. And I think we are, and as gay people, we are very demanding, we're high maintenance, and we're very sensitive, you know, especially to this matter. It's like, if, you know, with gay culture per se, if there's one thing that they always trying to do is like push some kind of agenda. I feel like this pride thing, this coming out, international coming out, put us, we want to be recognized, yada yada, we are just handling it the complete wrong way. It is not always safe to actually come out, by the way. Number one, you could really get disowned. 40% of LGBTI plus people in America are homeless, homie. You don't have a home to go to, because when you decided to tell your parents go to your gate, no, it doesn't make sense. You are in Africa. You have to be very sensitive, you know? I cannot go sit down my mom and say, Mom, I'm dating guys now, and I didn't have that kind of conversation with my parents, you know? I don't have to. So
I think the intention was never to for it to come across that way. I think they're trying to push liberation. Trying to push the whole idea that it's okay, I think. From the outside looking in, I'm obviously not a part of the gay or queer community firsthand. But I definitely think the intention was never ever what you've just, the point that you've just made. I think it was more thing of like, look, dude, come out, be free, live your best life, don't apologize for being you. But I absolutely get your point.
But don't you think that it's becoming quite commercialized?
Oh, absolutely.
It's becoming a thing. You know, I mean, I get the fact that we're all liberated, we all have rights per se. You know, I like that. But it's becoming so commercial. I mean, International Coming Out Day. It was the first of something. I found that completely unnecessary. I don't necessarily believe in it. Mm-hmm. I think that it is a luxury that not everyone can afford.
Mm.
It is something that you really need to think about, especially being a black person. Mm. Guys, we don't have trust funds. We don't have we don't have guap.
Mm.
You know, you're struggling. Mm. You got from Limpopo or Xhosaland, or whatever the case might be, and you want to come to Joburg and you got liberated. And now you want to go back home and explain to your... How would I explain, for example, the concept of, number one, marrying or being with a guy? Okay, so my parents, my mom would understand. She'd be like, okay, I get it. And now I have to explain, what is top? What is bottom?
What is top? What is bottom?
Do you understand?
Yeah, and now you have to ask questions like, oh, do you guys kiss? Why do you kiss? Whose penis goes in where? It's all of these. And I think it's being, we obviously are uneducated when it comes to those things. Many people, especially in these village communities out there, they obviously, it's something you don't know. It's a foreign concept.
It is.
So when I'm coming home, I'm out here in Joburg living my best life as a queer woman. I get to the village, and now there's this whole thing of like, okay, winner, and then explain. We didn't raise you like this. Oh, God, and then you bring religion into it. Like, this is not how we do it. And all, I definitely get it. And the thing is, people don't talk about that.
Yeah, they don't talk
about
that.
We talk about the nice thing of coming out and like, yes, be free.
Be proud, go back home.
And you've touched on a really, really, really great point. We don't think about the consequences.
The repercussions are inevitable, and they're quite, I mean, they're so sore. You don't know what black people will tell you, what your black parents might unleash. You don't know what's the first thing they're going to say, you know? Job?
So, a couple of questions, right?
Yeah.
International Coming Out Day. Mm. So, who started the movement?
I have no idea. Probably some American liberated rich fellow.
And it's cross, like it's international. It's become, for everyone.
Last year it was really festering in South Africa.
Yeah.
And there were these things, and we were told that we need to come out, go back home.
Okay.
You know?
The second thing is you touched on being black, right? Yeah. So the dynamics of being black, or rather being black in Africa, I know in the Middle East, it's an issue still. The concept of being gay, lesbian, or a member of the LGBTI A plus community is taboo. Right? That I get. But do you not then say it serves as an opportunity for the more liberal countries? Because we cannot only look at it one-sided.
Absolutely.
The more liberal countries will use this as an opportunity to come out, to educate, to empower the community. You get what I'm saying? So as much as it might have a bad connotation or an adverse what is it, a harsh
yeah.
connotation to our people or our continent. I don't think writing it off completely is a bad thing. I'd rather say we are not yet ready for it as a continent.
We're completely not yet Uhuru when it comes to this matter.
I'd rather say we're not yet ready for that. And as a result, let's start embracing it and phasing it out. Because one of the issues, as a community, as a people, we're already fighting that LGBTI community members need to be recognized.
Yeah.
But yet when they do get recognized, we're saying it's an issue. So where's the balance there? So I'm saying, as part of us recognizing the LGBTI member or community members, let us start rolling out this coming out International Day, just like they do with the gay festival. Is it Feathers
the
or whatnot?
Pride.
The Pride Festival.
Yeah.
You know, let's start doing it in small dosages.
I get that, and it sounds so clean and proper and so well spoken, but I just... For an example, I just think like idols should be written off. Pride should be written off. We've just been doing this for too long. I feel like we're still doing the baby steps of recognition. We're not actually at a stage where you don't necessarily have to do the coming out or the pride walk or anything to show that you are a proud member of whatever community you might be in. You know what I mean? I feel like as much as, I mean, you look at what's currently happening on TV, you see what Pato Makwarela, the head writer of The Queen, The River, he's trying...
Slowly
he's infusing gay culture
into the content, yeah.
Which, you know, in a way...
It's part of the steps.
It's amazing.
Yes.
But I just don't... and the storylines are more or less always the same. You know, it's always this very feminine person who's trying to hook up with someone who looks somewhat straight. Mm-hmm. Very cliche crap. Yeah. Doing the same, or they're still fighting an uncle who cannot accept. And to be really honest with you, South Africa, as much as we are still, you know, not yet completely uhuru, but we have taken really progressive steps to a point where I don't think we need to be doing the baby steps of pride and international coming out day. I feel like if you feel like you can come out, you should. If you don't, it's really not about that. It's not, you know, it doesn't have to be a thing.
So if I'm getting you right, you're saying as a country, we actually at a point where we have surpassed the tabooness of being a member of the LGBTI community.
Absolutely. Per se, my experience.
Yeah, so we're at a point where we can come out and express without having the initiative or someone holding our hand to do it.
I absolutely agree. I think.
But then that contradicts what you just said earlier on about, as a black community, we're still far behind.
We're still far behind with regards to, you look at the generational gap. For me, I always say, look at the generational gap. We're far behind in terms of educating the people that are back at home, you know, people that are not as educated as us or whatever the case might be. But, you know, I say you need to be very sensitive about coming out. My thing is, be very sensitive about why you come out, why these things are addressed and why they should not be addressed. It is not a luxury that every gay person can afford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you cannot, like, guys, I'm going to give you an example. My mom, for example, has vertigo, right? I don't know if you guys know what vertigo is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I cannot go there. She just retired. She's trying to live her best life. I cannot go there and sit her down with my uncles who have left school in grade 3 and try to explain to them.
Yeah.
That's what I mean when I say they're still, you know, behind.
In terms of knowledge and understanding.
In terms of knowledge and understanding. And there's no need for us to perpetuate that stress for them.
Yeah, and also, you know what? Once you know better, you do better.
Absolutely.
So I feel like it's not even people not wanting to understand. It's just not having been exposed enough. Also, you come from a different generation.
Yes.
Where it was completely deaf. Oh my goodness, it's a real thing. So you can't expect someone's father who's about 100 years old, who lived...
Exactly.
You know, generations ago, you know, where these things were taboo, to accept it now in the current day. You also need to be very sensitive to other people's
belief systems,
you know? Rationale, all of that plays a part.
That makes perfect sense, and I fully agree. But then what do you tell a person who is faced with such a situation where he wants or she wants to come out, but then the generational gap she's facing or he's facing those difficulties of the mentality of the old people not understanding? Because I believe such a day is meant for such people.
To bridge,
because we can only look at it at one side of
that's why
those who are accepting of it.
No.
But then what about the ones who are not accepting of it? You get what I'm saying? So such platforms give them that opportunity to say, yes, and there is such a certain thing.
Absolutely.
And this is what it's about. You get what I'm saying? So I don't think it is all doom and gloom, or it's all bad what they're trying to do with this. It's more of creating an awareness, because as you just said, there still is a lack in the community or in the older generation, and some of the people who are in the community generally do want to come out.
Yeah, no, that's true.
To their families.
No, that's absolutely true.
So how do you deal with that?
I think what he's trying to say, sorry, is that he did say in the beginning, if you are ready to come out and you can bear the brunt of coming out, right? Come out. But what he's saying is, it should never be forced or trivialized. The fact that you come out should never be dumbed down to something where you just go to someone and go, oh yeah, I'm gay. It's never ever that simple. That's what he's trying to say. He's trying to sort of distinguish between the two, where if you can come out and you feel comfortable coming out and you want to sort of educate and teach and you're ready for the challenge, because obviously, you know, then come out. But if you're in a position where you can't come out, then maybe rethink it, or you don't want to. It's all about, you know, how much you want to.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not comfortable coming out, you don't owe anyone an explanation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I also think that, guys, honesty, integrity, authenticity, these things are very overrated. I personally just don't fly with that wing anymore. I feel like when we come, for example, to Joburg, we live our parents, our uncles, way back in Limpopo, way in the Eastern Cape, whatever the case may be, to start our own generation, to start our own lives. You know, we create our own families. I mean, you guys have somehow become my family because I can confide in you. You know, your friends literally become your family. And I'm not saying that you should dismiss your family away, but I just feel like there's certain things that you don't necessarily have to put your family through, especially if it's going to really cause you guys to, you know,
split up.
You know, there's certain things that I just feel are not necessarily a necessity. You don't have to. You don't have to. You know, and the more we can educate people about that, guys, come up is beautiful, but it's also a choice. It is a repercussion. You know, it is a choice.
I get it. You speak so passionately and deeply of it. I understand. It's obviously coming from a deeper place. And thank you for shining the light on that, Craig, because we don't ever think that far. Because we live in this world where we think everything is airy-fairy, and someone drops a motivational tweet on your timeline, and all of a sudden you're inspired to be a better human being. It's never, ever that simple. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So do you believe maybe the people who got it right? Because remember, even with the HIV and AIDS thing, it was an issue. And now it's something where you can easily talk about it and it's welcoming and whatnot. Okay. Do you think that approach could be taken in terms of introducing or creating open topics or creating conversation about coming out?
Okay, firstly, I want to just correct you there about the HIV thing. It is still a
major
stigma.
It is very difficult to date
a person who's HIV positive. Trust me, whether they are on ARVs or not, it is still a stigma. It is one of the few bravest things that very few people can actually do. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think the two can be adopted together because they're just two different dimensions. Mm-hmm. You know, the moment that someone is, because with a gay thing, HIV is a lifestyle disease. You know, people do sympathize more over lifestyle disease than a lifestyle. You know, you're not going against religion if you're HIV positive. You're not going against ethics, morals. You're not going against anyone's culture. You are just living your best life, which is complete. I mean, when you're HIV positive. But if you're gay, you are going against all of that. On top of that, you are told that you'll get AIDS. You know?
What you just mentioned now, it's actually key, because I personally didn't even think of it that far in terms of it's a lifestyle disease versus a lifestyle choice, or not even a choice, but it's versus a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And that in itself just creates a whole new different dynamic.
Absolutely. You
because
know
now when you talk about beliefs, all of that, religion, and yeah, that's,
you know, and
that's a huge mountain.
Exactly. I mean, I recently traveled to Africa. And I must tell you that, guys, as much as you guys might believe that Africa is not yet Uhuru, guys, we are quite liberated in terms of a lot of things. I went to Zanzibar, where, you know, it's a strong Muslim culture. Mm-hmm. You're not even allowed to dress how Candace, for example, is dressed today, you know, revealing boob shorts. Mm-hmm. It's completely forbidden, you know. So I feel like, as an African continent, we're not even close to, you know what I mean? But South Africa is very special. It's a beautiful place to be in. However, the one thing I must emphasize is the choice. You know, it is a choice to come out. It is a choice to live a certain way. You don't have to disclose anything to anybody. Mm. You know, there are a lot of people that have different sexual fantasies, practices, and so forth. They're not out there trying to be. You know what I mean? Mm.
So I guess, in a sense, as much as yes, the HIV and AIDS thing is different, but in that matter, which it's a choice.
I guess
then they should start educating people or creating conversation about that,
the choice
that you have a choice to come out or not come out. It's up to you,
because you think about the repercussions. A politician, not a very good idea, stay there, you know what I mean? I'm going to give you an example. The previous CEO of Apple, he came out in his 60s 70s. Number one, that guy had enjoyed the risk and rewards of being straight his whole entire life. The moment he's irrelevant, what does it do? I'm out of the closet. I mean,
fabulous point.
Know what I mean? It's so there's no need, you know, for me, I feel like if it works, threaten it, you know what I mean? Do your thing. If you feel like, I've got my few friends who know me and they accept me for who I am. You've got a few family members that are accepting of who you are. They support you. It's okay. You know what I mean?
Like they say, if the wheel is not broken,
if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And also, I'd like to jump in there with the whole thing of not coming out. Do you know how many married family men on Grindr? Grindr.
Exactly.
You know?
Is it that
app.
That app, yeah.
Do you know how many straight married men in happy marriages, they're perfectly fine, but they like to, you know, experiment. One of my gay mates actually went on a date with this guy. Indian guy. Married. Happy married. 3 kids. Look, and he's just trying to explore. He enjoys having sex with men. Like, and imagine him coming out.
I mean,
you know, you risk all of that. Guys, it's
an issue, isn't it?
It's an issue.
On that note, guys, please share your thoughts with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever, using the hashtag
Urban Culture Drive.
Or you can send us a WhatsApp on 079-748-2090.
You guys can even call us on that number.
Absolutely. Yeah, 079-748-2090.
And when we return, I just want to share very 5 interesting reasons why not to come out. So anyway,
on that note, let's take a quick break, and we're going out with the game All Eyes.
Drive. The message I'm saying is, don't give up, never quit, never surrender, don't chase the money gonna chase you, embrace the blessings and the blessings gonna pour on you, don't wait for somebody to challenge you, don't wait, challenge yourself and you will win more. Like, you know how people, I'm gonna challenge you, I'm gonna challenge that, man, I'm gonna challenge myself to be greater. You just gotta stay focused, man.
They don't want you to win.
You know what I'm saying? So we gonna win more.
Till you own, you own, you can't be free. Till you own, you own, you can't be me.
We must stop egg working around the fear of the unknown when it comes to the question of expropriation without compensation.
Urban Culture Drive. We breaking new ground.
And just like that, we're definitely breaking new ground.
Absolutely.
So guys, I still repeat, please share your thoughts with us on Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp. Use the hashtag Urban Culture Drive on WhatsApp. Text us or WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. Yeah, man. So Candace, Craig was busy telling us about what he feels about what he thinks and the issues that he has. Which make a lot of sense and are quite impactful and sensitive. What's on your mind today, babe?
Thanks so much for making that point. Really appreciate it, Craig.
Before I close off, I got those 5 points.
Yes, I was going to say, don't you want to give us those 5 points of coming out?
Anyway, if you just tuned in, hopefully you started with this, you know, but if you just tuned in, it's no problem. I'm going to give you 5 random reasons. Very sarcastic, obviously, because us gay people are very sarcastic, very bitchy. We always wake up on the wrong side of the bed. I'm going to give you 5 reasons why you should not come out of the closet. Number one, it makes everyone else so much more comfortable. So please don't come out. If you're going to make everyone uncomfortable at home, just stay in the closet. It's okay. It's all right. Number two, politicians are already overwhelmed, guys. It's enough that they have to balance the the budget. You know, they don't need another gay agenda. It's only patriotic duty. So really, just stay there. Honesty, integrity, and authenticity, like I said earlier, quite overrated. Even though coming out is a mark of honesty, blah, 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 it's just a myth. You know what I mean? You don't have to do that. It's completely overrated. The world is corrupt. Men are trash. We know this. So save us the headache, you know?
Why are you putting men in there now?
I'm just saying, you know? You don't want to be unemployed. For certain, career roles, you don't want to come out. If you're a politician, investment banker, someone that people look up to, you don't want anyone to sort of, you know, change the way they perceive you, you know. So just stay there for a couple of more years. Come up when you're irrelevant, 65 or something. Last but not least, it really isn't all that amazing. Yeah, I just really think so. I think actually it's more attractive when you are sort of in the closet and everyone's trying to figure out, is it gay, is it straight? You know, people are like more curious. Yeah. You know what I mean? And those are my five thoughts. Okay, you can share your thoughts with me on hashtag Evan Carlson Drive on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, even LinkedIn.
But you know, as you were saying those five thoughts, ne?
Yeah.
I just can't help but feel somehow, man. How do you live with a secret like that?
It's not a secret.
No, but
it's like, just none of your business. There's a difference.
No. I'm saying you. I'm saying you as an individual. As an individual, yeah. not the people around you.
Yeah.
As an individual, does it not eat away at you that you cannot live your life freely?
But you do live your life freely. You just don't disclose to the, like, you don't go to work and tell people what you,
oh, okay.
you live your life. Like,
and you work for Pornhub part time. Do you tell us? You don't tell us that, but we know all about it because we're always on there.
I feel like it's
nice booty, by the way.
Thank you, Candace. We should do a video actually.
We should tell us.
So basically, it's about being comfortable in your own skin and not needing validation from the surrounding.
The problem is the
external
validation.
Okay.
Cool. It's about the gay day, high maintenance. I told you.
No. On that note.
Thank you.
On that note, it fully resonates and I get it. Now moving on to the Pornhub saga.
Yes.
Did you see my latest babe?
Yes, I did. Dog.
Like,
where was that? Was that out in Sandton?
Dude, like,
because I could see the view, Giri. Okay, you've actually made it, right?
That was vibe, bro.
Did
inspired
they
by Trey Song's slow motion video.
Did that direct deposit hit?
Ish.
Did the money come through? Drinks on you.
I'm
after
still
the
waiting
show
for that, because they're saying the more likes I get, then the
higher the payouts.
The payouts. So I'm waiting for that to transact.
And you're currently on 25,000 views.
Am
so
I?
Look, Bona, like,
trending.
I'm a fan.
Trending. No jokes aside, people were just messing with you.
So guys, I'm going to give you guys a roundup of what's been trending. I don't know if you guys are into current affairs. Joking, better be.
Which ones? Twitter current affairs.
Basically a roundup of like what's been happening all over the place. Yeah. So I'm going to get right into it, and you touched on it, baby. Duduzi Manana.
Darling.
Once again, he faced new allegations of assault on a woman. He's 43-year-old helper, Christine Wiro. So what happened was, the story goes as follows. He tells her, Bona, you need to make breakfast. I'm expecting a guest. And please open for her when she comes, right? She then opens for someone, but this is not the guest. So he's hacked at the fact that she opened with someone that's not supposed to be there. So she tries to explain it away and say, no, but my guy, like, you said a guest is coming. I just assumed. I'm sorry. She apologizes. And then he proceeds to try to push her down the stairs of his double-story home in four ways.
And I've been to that place. Very nice.
Is it a lovely home?
Oh, darling.
How is he? How is he in real life? Like, your experience with him. Can you see, okay, wolf in sheep's clothing?
I met him through different vibes. You know, I wasn't like paying attention to him per se. It was like a vibe. You know, there were a couple of people there. He's actually very cool.
I'm sure.
He loves alcohol. You know, Duduzi Manana is an alcoholic. Yeah. He's even got a bar in his own place. He's very cool.
Yeah.
Very generous. You know, I've never got a very negative vibe, you know, from him. But obviously what's currently happening, it's a persona that I never saw. So.
Is he a charismatic man? Because you gauge like that. Is he a charismatic being? Because I feel like you can pick up on energy, but when someone is charismatic,
yeah,
it's hard to read them.
I would not read, because I never gave him that much, you know.
Oh, yeah, you didn't pay attention to Bo Babes.
Because at that time I was also lit and drinking for free. So,
I mean, kumnandi.
So are you saying if a person is charismatic, they use it as
they can
facade?
Always, yes. Mm. Charismatic people are always, you know, they're very hard to read because they can always finesse you.
There's a shade of
with
darkness.
The charm. Yeah. Like your former president.
So just to throw it out there, so Obama was a charismatic man. Are you saying maybe or insinuating that there could be shades of gray?
That's your call, baby.
I'm asking.
What did he do in Syria? Didn't he cause havoc in Syria?
I don't know. He was just too much of an awesome.
Anyway, moving on. Anyway, Mogel proceeds to then drop the charges against Nduduzi. Like I think about like this morning, 10
a.m. Come on, 10.
Look, the first thing I thought was money.
Makes the world go round.
Money. She obviously got a payoff. Here's my question. So there's rumored allegations that his sister was there with him, went to go see this lady, the helper. Christine. Okay. Went to go see Christine, pleading with Christine. Christine, please drop the charges. We'll pay you what you want. Okay. And this is all alleged, right? So we'll pay you what you want. Just drop the charges. His sister is defending him.
Yeah.
So in some ways, women do enable abusers, right? If a payoff is going to make you drop a charge.
In a lot of ways, though.
Then it doesn't take much, does it?
Yeah.
And now, let's not even get started on, I know a couple of hands married to rich men.
Yeah.
You get a proper beating every week. You get a proper beating, but you go on expensive holidays. The bags, they always look better than myself.
Toes, don't you have manicures and pedicures?
Beautiful, lovely, everything is always fantastic.
So I'm assuming that it's
to
about...
To some degree, we do enable... abuses.
I think it's a matter of cost versus benefit.
That's what I'm thinking. And it's the same thing that you spoke about. It's just a psyche thing with unions. Yeah. It's the same thing you spoke about when it comes out when you have to come out for being gay, right?
Yeah, it's like
you have to weigh. Am I gonna move out of, and look, I'm speaking truthfully and honestly, am I gonna move out of my lovely, beautiful 2-bedroom home or apartment in Sandton because I, let's trivialize it, got trapped last night?
Yeah.
You know, am I going to leave this relationship because I got a hiding? Remember, you also become manipulated. You become accustomed to the beating. You sort of expect it. But your life is so lit.
I think that, yeah, I do. That's
so I'm sure that must be a terrible position to be in, where am I going to compromise who I am? And it's easy to sit on the outside and go, oh, I'll never let someone beat me. But sure, when you've had everything you've always wanted, I can get into my Mercedes-Benz SUV and go take you out for drinks. I mean, you have to weigh these things out. I don't know, you guys.
No, I do get your point. And, you know, it's a very correct point per se, you know, to say that, I mean, people that get abused have been abused for quite some time. I think in this case, with regards to Mduma Nana, he just abuses different people. And it's almost as if something takes over him without him actually realizing that he's got a problem. You know, I think he's someone that probably needs a good discipline, anger management program, whatever the case might be. Because it's not like I don't personally believe he's abusive, but I think there's something that takes over him after you say whatever that he cannot control. That's why he's able to inflict different kinds of abuse to different people, random people, even your own help, which is like, you know, it's bizarre.
And this is a 43-year-old woman, guys. This is someone's mother.
Yeah, true.
I mean, if you're going to fight, I mean, you're not fighting someone's whole mom. But I would just like to point out that we by no means are condoning woman abuse. And also, I'm not saying stay in those terrible, horrible relationships. What we do on Urban Culture Drive is have raw and real conversations. And so I want you guys to keep an open mind. But you guys know the show, and you guys do generally keep an open mind. But also, I'd like to hear your take on this home to do... Nduduzi Manana case. And please interact with us on the socials. We're at Urban Culture Drive. I would really like to know if you guys feel that we are enabling our abusers to some degree. Am I going to defend my brother who beat up his wife? How? Do you understand?
Absolutely. But because there's a lot of allegedly
rumors,
we don't know what's really happening, because it's also possible that this woman could have just decided to, I'm not saying this, I'm just thinking, you know, 360, I mean, full full circle, that she could have just literally went to the police station, or maybe they had a bickering moment, you know, maybe maybe he shouted, or maybe he pushed, I don't know, maybe it wasn't that severe. Then she's like, when I could want some slip, because women do that, and you know, she'll go to the police station, and then he was like, yo, to save my reputation. By that time, you know, she's already told somebody who damage is already done. You know, women do sometimes do that, where they'll call. I mean, I had a case. There was a case that I heard some time ago that a woman was sleeping with a doctor, and she said to him, I will go to the police station and say that you raped me if you don't give me money. Yeah. And you know, as a doctor, you lose your license, you know, so you can't practice. So obviously, you'll do anything to save your reputation. And, you know, as people, as slay queens, you know, I've seen these girls, they can do the most dramatic things just to get ahead of life, you know. Obviously, this woman is not a slay queen. I don't think that she genuinely, I mean, considering the fact that she's a domestic helper, she would have probably taken the opportunity a long time ago. So this sounds like a genuine case, but also in other cases it might happen that the men are actually victims. We just never really know.
Yeah.
And speaking of abuse, I mean, men do also get abused. And it is so taboo for you as a man to come out and say, hey dude, or go report an abuse case, because they look at you and saying, how? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But now, talking about this guy, if it's a series of two abuse cases in such a short space of time, is that not now, like, you remember the Oscar Pistorius case before the River incident?
Yeah.
There were a number of incidents, guns at restaurants.
Yes.
There were a number of telltale signs that this nigga is a violent individual.
Yeah.
So isn't this some form of characteristic insight into the guy?
Exactly what I mentioned. I feel like this guy cannot control. He's got anger issues. He's got past issues. Because for you to randomly attack people, even your own helper, you know, it tells me that there's just something about you that you're not able to control yourself. It's a matter of self-control. When he sobers up from whatever the case might be, he probably goes back to his thoughts and says, I should not have done that. You know, I mean, in politics, he was doing the most. You know what I mean? He was doing the most. He's got good work ethic. He's got good business. He's got good relations with different kinds of people, probably well connected as well. So I cannot completely write him off to say he's a menace to society, but he does have a problem, a serious one.
Yeah, and I would also say the fact that he's always targeting women speaks to a power issue. He likes to be in power. He seems like a power freak. Like, he always wants to be in control. Don't you dare disrespect me. Don't you dare speak loud with me. Don't you dare think you can have your own ideas and ideals in life. You're going to listen to me. And I think that's where that stems from. And yeah, I think he got hurt as a kid. I think this is all issues stemming from him when he was a 10-year-old kid. I mean, these things tend to manifest when you're grown. He's angry at someone. Get help, homie.
Yeah, because I was about to say that it doesn't justify, regardless of the background, it does not justify him throwing tantrums and abusing people and the likes. To an extent, if you have such a characteristic trait, I'd like to believe that it even goes beyond females, especially being in a position of power.
Yeah.
It's just that guys will not talk about it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is that the guys will not talk about it. But I do believe that if he is showing such signs, there is definitely,
there's an issue. Because this is a symptom of a deeper rooted issue, and this is how it manifests itself. Speaking of which, guys, so I want to move on to my next little thing that I found. So get this, and literally place yourself in this situation. So last year, there was an apparent rumored sex tape of Kevin Hart and his side doing rounds. It wasn't online, but he was being blackmailed by some person saying, look, I want money. I'm going to drop your sex tape if you don't give me money, blah, blah. So this person had taunted him for months and months and months. At this time, this happened late last year, Iniko, his wife, current wife, is pregnant at the time with his child. This person keeps blackmailing and calling and taunting him, saying, look, dog, I've got your sex tape. I'm gonna, if you don't give me money, I'm gonna drop this tape. Kevin Hart, being Kevin Hart, is like, hell no, you're not gonna extort me. So what he did was he then called in reinforcement. He called the cops. He's like, look, guys, I need you guys to look into this person. This person is trying to blackmail me with some sex tape. Cool. 2 days ago, a couple of days ago, guess shame, you know? Guess who actually was behind all this blackmail?
I'm very curious.
One of his closest friends, guys. Wow. A grown-ass man who goes by the name of J.T. Jackson. This is a man who's married with kids.
Wow.
Very close friend to Kevin Hart.
Oh, yeah. This is,
and he tweeted recently. Yeah.
Did he have sex with a man?
No. Oh, the blackmailer. Okay. The friend had set it up like this. So what happened was, okay, the friend, obviously we're in the same circles, right? Yeah. So if you say, Candace, let's go to Durban.
Yes, I got you.
I can set up a camera in our hotel room. We're living there. Yes. You understand? So he had orchestrated this whole thing. He knew that he'd be having sex with some random girl. Mm. He caught it on tape and thought this was his ticket. This was his meal ticket finally. And I guess it blew up in his face. And shame, he tweeted recently something along the lines of, I'm hurt, deeply hurt. And you know what? We always say it's always the closest ones to you. And watch your friends. Watch who you befriend. But you don't think that someone going do you so goddamn dirty.
Like, dudes.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's why if I were to cheat, I'd really go far away and not with anyone. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like it's the safest bet. You don't want to go there with homies.
Yeah.
But then again, right? It goes to the point of your best friend. He's always around you.
You must check his gram. He used to be on all of his gram.
He's already around you.
This was your scheme, dog.
And whenever you splurge with him. So it's not like you are depriving him of anything of your success. And they still want to go to that point of extorting you like that.
Yeah, no, that was quite intense. I don't know how I'd handle that.
I'm thinking that was smart.
I'd be so hurt.
That was smart.
But that was evil.
That was smart, though.
But that was evil.
I mean, I know it's evil, but... Guys, if the guy managed to get the guap, that was probably the easiest. It's brilliant. You know what I mean? It's one of the most brilliant.
That is so conniving. I wouldn't sleep at night.
But brilliant.
Bona, you get the guap, and then what? How you gonna spend the guap?
How you spend it proper?
How you blow it on all these hoes. I'm going to Vegas. If I were that nigga, I'm going to Vegas.
As my friend, I know your financial situation. I know where you.
No, but I. Fam, it's not even that deep. Like, you're overanalyzing what happened. Like, yeah. It's not that deep. It was never ever a situation. It's a situation of Kiskin Saga. I want money because I know you're famous. I can make money off you. It's a greed thing. Yeah. So it's not as deep.
But it is deep because he didn't think it through. After I give you the 2 million, are you gonna come out and say I got 2 million from the same person who gave me 2 million? I know your financial situation. How are you gonna work around that?
Oh, I understand your point.
Yeah. How are you gonna
show
around that?
It's right?
Gonna show.
Yeah.
It's gonna show. But I think that's
my point.
I think that you know that guy really he had a good plan. You know, that's my thought on it. You know, it's sad, but it's you know you gotta crush people to get ahead.
You gotta do what you gotta do, I guess.
On that note, let's take a bit of a breather. We'll be right back.
Just so an alien source are approaching from the sky. Radio contact has been attempted but cannot be established. Instructions are to prepare for an attack by an unknown enemy.
Now tuned into the greatest.
This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, guys. Just like that, we're back. Catch us on VOOV at 5 o'clock with Mr. Shotgun Flavor. Thanks for joining us for this hour. Listen to... What is this? BP on the networks with us. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Once again, hashtag Urban Culture Drive. Tell us your thoughts, what you want to hear, what we've been talking about, what you think about all of that. And over and above that, it's been a lovely show. Craig, final words?
Nah, fam, nothing else I can say except for, guys, if you haven't watched the Childish Gambino's video, This Is America, really fucking brilliant.
Which
video
one is that?
It's he dropped a new video, Childish Gambino.
Yeah.
The song is called This Is America. Okay. It's so, so lit. A lot of symbiosis. So, yeah, much love. See, talk to you in the next hour.
Alright, guys, and just like that, we out. Much love.
This is CliffCentral.com.